All of the food we eat and much of the clothing we wear comes from plants and animals that are raised on farms. Farms are different in type, in size, and even in name.
Welcome to Barn Talk. What happens at the barn stays in the barn, but not today. We're going to let it all out for you guys. Today is going to be a Q&A, Barn Talk Q&A episode. We're going to be answering your guys' questions that you submitted to us, and you can submit your questions at barntalkshow@gmail.com. That's where you can email us for us to receive your questions, and we'll answer them on the show. There's kind of some things that we want to address before we get into it. If you're new to the show, we have this thing that we like to have you guys do if you get value from the show, which is just share it. Share the show with those you know. The more that you guys do that, the more the show grows, the better guests we can get on, the more episodes we can make. We also would appreciate if you went over Spotify or Apple and left us a review. That gives our show a lot of credibility. We're up to 2,000 plus five-star reviews on Spotify, and we're at like 988 on Apple. Apple, guys, let's get to 1,000. Let's see if we can get to 1,000 after this episode. That would be awesome. We're so close to 1,000 five-star reviews. And another way you can support Barn Talk is you can head over to our direct-to-consumer meat business, farmergrade.com, and buy some meat from us. We have a lot going on in 2024. We got a pasture-raised poultry producer. We got some chicken on the website. We got some summer grilling products for pork, so pork patties, hot dogs, brats, pork butts, you name it. We got a beef box we're pre-selling on there right now, and we got some American Wagyu coming to the site in April. So lots coming, and the best feature that all of our customers have been telling us we got to do is you can now build your own box on farmergrade.com. A la carte option is available, so all the cuts that you want on there, you can pick and choose what you want, add it to your box, and we'll ship it directly to you. So no more just curated boxes.
So if I want, say, 16 pounds of bacon, I can order 16 pounds?
You can order 16 freaking pounds of This Will Do Farm bacon.
That's got me pretty excited.
It is. People are liking it, and that was probably our number one request throughout the first year of Farmer Grade was, we want to create our own box.
Yep.
Let us create our own box. So we finally were able to get that feature out, which I'm really excited about. So
good job. Kudos to you.
Thanks. Yeah.
I'd like to say that I had a lot to do with that, but
I came to you for a lot of, you're kind of my therapist. Sometimes I just unload on you and you just take it. And
I have broad shoulders. I did help load the pigs though.
Yeah, you did. You contribute.
It's pretty important.
It is. Definitely got to get them on the truck somehow. So no doubt about it. How are you today?
It's windy. Our spring in southeast Iowa comes and goes. I don't know. We had some really nice weather and gave people a lot of bad ideas. It's kind of going, chance of thunderstorms this afternoon and windy. And I don't like wind. I don't mind the cold. I don't really like the heat, but I hate windy days. It just sucks if you got to be outside doing anything. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. I am built for high wind. I have a low center of gravity. But I don't know. I don't really like it.
One positive, though, if it does rain, we got a lot of moisture. We've had more moisture than 3 years. Oh, yeah. We don't need any more.
We're way ahead on moisture compared to the last 3 years. So I don't know. That's good for getting it in the ground when it comes time to do it. We'll just have to see. We seem to do pretty well on dry years, but it'll be kind of nice if this holds out and you're not waiting on every cloud that comes over hoping there's rain in it. So we'll just have to see.
I could tell you how I'm doing today if you want to hear it.
I can already tell.
Let me just say something. I had Pizza Hut last night with Kat, and I don't like Pizza Hut. You know, it's not like it used to be when you were a kid. You guys, all you 80s kids and 90s kids always talk about how badass Pizza Hut was and how good it was and all this stuff. And I didn't really live that. That wasn't my experience, and it still isn't my experience.
The 80s was the golden age of Pizza Hut.
Yep.
Not true today.
No. Nope. They changed that that restaurant room where everybody sits, and now it just went downhill after that.
Pizza went downhill is what happened.
Man, I'll just be honest. That Pizza Hut's tearing me up today. tearing me up. Maybe I'll never eat that shit again. God.
Maybe we should shoot. Maybe I should shoot my part of the podcast remote today.
Well,
can you just bring me in Zoom?
You might have to get a. Did you bring a clothespin?
I don't know.
You're going to have to cover up that nose.
At least the fans are blowing your way, so yeah. Maybe it keeps. I mean, you have a stench most days.
Yeah,
but
so do you.
Worse. Might be worse today.
So do you. So, yeah, don't go. Pizza Hut hasn't gotten any better, so don't go there. We only went because Kat came home from Des Moines. She went to a horse show, and she didn't feel like cooking, and I didn't feel like cooking, and it was Sunday, so we just got Pizza Hut. And
you had money left to get pizza after her going to a horse deal?
Well,
did you?
We're not married yet, so she's still got her own. She's got her money she works for.
Did she buy or did
oh,
you?
Oh, she bought some stuff. Oh, no, I bought Pizza Hut. Yeah.
She might be completely broke. You don't know.
Yeah, and the thing about it is it's overpriced. What you get for what they pay or cost you, not worth it. So definitely not worth it after how you feel the next day.
Yeah, I'm glad that I didn't partake of any of that.
Yep. So just be your friendly reminder to get Papa John's instead or something.
Oh, man.
So what do the markets look like today?
Well, the hot off the press market update, courtesy of Katz Grain in Washington, Iowa. Corn, 437. That's the close on the board. Local, 439. And ADM and Cedar Rapids must need some corn because they're bidding 452. Beans, 1209. The river, this side of the river, 1178. And Quincy is $12. Bean meal, $341 a ton. Wheat, 555. Hogs, 8515. Still having a hard time getting a lot of traction. I mean, we are in better shape than we have been, but that's not a great bid by any means. Cattle, 186. Feeder cattle, 249. Class 3 milk, $16.33 for all you milk guys out there. Oil, $81.90 for May contract. Bitcoin, $70,700.
Holy cow.
So I hope all of you that...
We've been sounding the alarm for...
Yeah.
Shit, I don't know how many... Every time you've done a market update, we've said Bitcoin spring. Kurt, who was it? Raul said that?
Yep.
Like months ago.
Yeah, it went through a pretty tough spot, but it's kind of solidifying itself around the 70,000 range. A lot of people think it's going to go to 100K. So if you're one of those guys that spent your Bitcoin on pizza, no bueno for you. Ethereum, $3,600. Tesla, $173. I'd be buying Tesla at this spot if I was in the mood to buy any. But I'm just a penniless grain farmer right now, so I ain't gotten any extra cash. Gold, $2,175. And I just thought I'd throw in there my good friends at Beyond Meat, $7.89. And Italy today said no more lab-grown meat. They banned it from the country. And the EU is contemplating it over concerns about the very long list of man-made ingredients that are going into man-made meat. The EU is not too keen on all that. So there's a possibility that the EU may say, no way, Jose.
Let's follow.
Yeah. I think we should do the same. Just go to Farmer Grade.
Yep, go to
get
Farmer Grade.
Some real meat.
Yep, if you want real meat, real American meat, it's a good place to get it. That was fantastic.
So today, Q&A episode, we haven't done one in a while because, you know, it's feast or famine here. We were pretty consistent because we had a hard time getting our guests down here. Now that we've had... just been a cornucopia of guests, mm-hmm. and we haven't had time to shoot hot topics or Q&As, but we got time today. Side note, I think Barn Talk Podcast on the Apple Business Chart, the last time I looked, the Stephen McBee episode was number 63.
Wow, cool.
I think that's the highest charting podcast we ever had on there, and it was 43 on Spotify, and I don't know if we ever got higher than that on Spotify or not, but thank you to all of you, because we couldn't do what we do without you. Well, we could, but it kind of sucked. It'd get pretty boring after a while, so thank you for all of those that share the show out and comment, and thanks for the questions. I try to reply to the questions, and I don't always get them all done, but just know that we try to work through them, and we try to get them all in. unless you happen to send us one that is a
repeat.
Is a repeat question. Sometimes we don't do the repeat questions, but anyway,
and it can be about some. It can be about anything, guys. You can ask us any question. A lot of times it's farming and agriculture related because that's what we do, but it can be literally about anything. We'll give you our 2 cents about anything and everything, so don't be afraid to ask something if you want to.
Yeah, so. If you're engineering a bridge somewhere and you're just not quite sure about a calculation, feel free to throw it out here. We'll try to help you.
I will not be any of any help on that one.
Need a disclaimer for that, too. On second thought, no, maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not. So
no help on that one.
Maybe a deck. If you got a deck question, ask me. I built a few decks, but engineered concrete and steel, I don't know. So what's your opinion of the proposed TikTok ban?
My opinion on the TikTok ban is ban, not banned. We're not smoking the drums. Well, it's like a lot of people that you've seen on probably TikTok, if you have it, or anywhere. People are not very happy about it. American citizens aren't very happy about it because on the priority list of issues that we all go through on a day-to-day basis in 2024, TikTok ranks very, very fucking low. And yet we're making this such a big deal. And some people speculate the reason they want to ban TikTok is it's right before the election and they don't want people to collaborate and talk amongst one another and, you know, make videos on what's going on or share ideas or share thoughts because they don't want us to do that. And TikTok, for a long time, Twitter's been the platform that you can really share your thoughts and opinions on for a long time. But TikTok has really adopted that too. And a lot of people talk on TikTok. A lot of people make videos and these kinds of videos talking about this subject, you know, really strikes a nerve with people. And people are talking about it. People are commenting about it. People are making a lot of videos on it. So people talk about politics and hot topics on TikTok. And so my opinion is, yeah, I agree with those people. My only thing is, yeah, these platforms probably do take a lot of our data, but TikTok is not the only one doing it. And to me, the scary part about getting rid of TikTok is some other speculation behind it is, well, Mark Zuckerberg is lobbying and, you know, greasing congressmen's pockets to get rid of a competitor for him and just ban it. And I don't think that's fucking right because, you know, you want to talk about corporate greed and companies having the power. So what, you just can ban your competition in any industry? I mean, that gets, when you talk about rights and, you know, freedom and commerce and capitalism and the American dream, well, that's not the American dream at all. A corporation shouldn't be able to grease other politicians to vote to get rid of one of their competitors. That's just wrong, in my opinion. And I think that's ultimately what's happening, because you can't tell me TikTok is taking more information and more of your data and your facial recognition with all the filters and stories that you do on that platform, and TikTok, or I guess TikTok and Facebook are doing the same thing. All these platforms are taking your data. So I don't think they're the big bad wolf that everybody, or what they're trying to make it out to be.
And Google.
And they're all doing it. They're all fucking doing it. If they know your search history, they know what your face looks like.
Wait, they know my search history? Oh,
hell yeah, Dad. Oh, you better
shit.
The midgets, you better get off that midget stuff. Oh, sorry, man, to all the short people out there. It was just a joke.
The ownership of TikTok, what, like 20% of it is owned by the employees here in the U.S. And there isn't actually much of the company that is owned by, I don't think there's any of it that's actually owned by the CCP. But I have no doubt that they have their fingers in it. But I don't feel like, I agree with you. I think this really comes down to our government doing the dirty work for the competition of TikTok. And, you know, leave it to Gary Vee to give you the positive spin on it. He had a comment about it, and he just said he doesn't really care what happens to TikTok because he's just going to move wherever the attention is. And if TikTok goes away, more than likely, something else something else will probably start, or some other platform is going to grow more because all that attention is going to move somewhere. And the only other thing I'll say about TikTok is they have really kind of gotten, a lot of people aren't very happy with them on the creator side of late, because basically if you're not peddling a product through their
TikTok shop,
their shop, the organic reach of the platform has gone to trash, because they want to feature the people that are spending money with them. And then the other side of it is, and I don't know what this is about, because we don't really, we put all our stuff out, our clips on TikTok, but we don't monetize any of it. I mean, we don't make crap off of it. We just look at it as a funnel to get people that otherwise might not find the YouTube video to have a reason to go there. But I guess a lot of creators, their pay from what they're making has been like overcut by over half. So yeah. They're kind of, a lot of people are comparing them going the same route like Vine, because that's what happened to them. They screwed over their creators and then all their creators left. So I don't know what the long-term outlook for TikTok is, but the one thing I will say, agree with you, is the government just needs to stay the hell out of it. Like most things, the government doesn't get involved because they just have an overwhelming sense that they want to help you out. They're being motivated by somebody.
That's so true. Anyway. Yeah, it's just another example or another reason why if you are a creator and want to make content, you need to be on all platforms, because if your audience is on one platform and it goes away, you're fucked.
Yep.
You're screwed. So you got to be on everything, because you don't want to take that risk at all. And the other thing, last thing I'll say about it is, I said that all these platforms are taking data, but all these platforms are taking that data and selling it. And they're definitely selling it to China. Don't get it twisted. Meta is selling your data to China. Google's selling your data to China. And I'm sure TikTok does the same. They all do it. So, if you got a platform, you're on any of the social media, just know they got your shit. So,
yeah. So that's why.
And that's scary, but.
We're starting to post our stuff on AmishMingle.com.
There we go.
We're trying to broaden out.
Yep. Trying to reach everybody.
We're trying to reach everybody.
Yeah. Nice. Nick asks, what with a child on the way and trying to juggle multiple endeavors at the same time, do you have any tips or tricks to stay on track and motivated?
That's a good one. That's a good one for you, but I'll give you my two cents.
Well, you had a kid, so you know what that process is like. I don't have one. So.
Yeah. When that arrives, when your child arrives, your life will change. And one thing will be that some of the priorities that you have now probably will get pushed to the back burner. But I would say, I mean, some days I feel like we are the worst people to talk about being organized and staying on task and all that. But at the same time, I will tell you that compared to the days that I had multiple legal pads floating around in my work truck and on my desk and trying to keep track of everything that I needed to get done, compared to the way that we do it today, there's a lot of tools out there to help you. And I guess the other thing, the big overarching point that I would make to anybody that is trying to get ahead or, you know, is trying to do multiple deals is really be cognizant about what you spend your time at, because the amount of time that your electronic devices can steal from you and you don't even realize it is pretty amazing. Like when you go to do something, you get to the parking lot of here or there, or you get done with a task, or you get off the phone with somebody, think about how much time that you pick up that phone and you hang up from talking to somebody, and then you're like, oh, I'm just going to check on blank. And then the next thing you know, 20 minutes has gone by and you've been perusing all the social media sites or whatever you're looking at. If you can really, if you can really batten down the hatch on how much time you allow yourself to be engaged on your phone with whatever, it amounts to it's a good amount. It's a lot more than what you probably realize. And so one thing that I do is I've actually gone, I have an app, Sawyer turned me onto it, called Things, and I use that as like my checklist and my to-do list and all that. However, in the morning when I get up, I used to use a journal, and I went away from that and I did everything on my phone. And then what I found was I'm not dedicated enough that when I go to that, I don't end up going and perusing all the social media. So when I get up in the morning, I don't use my phone until I'm done journaling, like making my list, just putting my thoughts down for the day. I actually do that on paper, and the reason I do it is because I don't want to pick up my phone, because I know when I pick it up, something's going to lead to something's going to lead to something, and the next thing you know, I'm going to sit there for 20 minutes wasting time. So, and some people are a lot better about that. You know, you may be somebody that doesn't bother you a bit, or you don't have any of those apps on your phone, and kudos to you if you can do that. But for me, I just know that I've got to be very conscious about how I spend my time with my devices. So that's one piece of advice. And then the other thing I would say is, if you have a child on the way, you and your wife need to be on the same page. Like, make sure that you're sharing, like, have a calendar together. If you're using something like Things, share that back and forth, so that when one of you has something come up that you add, everybody knows it's on there. And the more you can tackle family as a team, the better off you'll be. And it will be chaos. It's going to be chaos for about, how old are you?
24.
Long time.
24.
It's going to be chaos for a long time, but it does get better.
Okay. Well, on the screen thing, screen time, I think there's a lot of people that struggle with that. Hell, I struggle with that. Things, I've talked about it many times. I just mentioned it. Things 2, I think, is what the app's called. It's an amazing app. You can do so much on it. Helps you plan out your day. Check tasks off. But there's also another app that I found it's a screen blocking app that'll block any app that you want for however long you want, and you can make the difficulty of the screen blocking session so you can't access the apps at all in that amount of time, or you can have a little break and hit the break button and it goes up to a maximum of 15 minutes. So I really use that, and it's called Opal, O-P-A-L. It's on the App Store. It's a really great app. It's not free, but I went ahead and bought it because I know myself and I'm the same way as Dad. So if I really need to sit down and I need to focus, I have a blocking session, and you can schedule a blocking session for if you wake up at 5:30, start it at 5:30 and end it, you know, whenever you want. You can block everything, and you can block websites. You can block literally everything that you can think of. So I really recommend that app as well for the screen time. As far as just motivation, I mean, I would use your kid as a big motivator. I mean, you're bringing a child into this world, and I don't think it gets, I mean, I have no experience with doing that. I just think about when I do have children, like right now, you know, I have a fiance, obviously we're going to get married and we're going to start having kids, but I try to think about what kind of man I want to be for my kids. And if I can try to cultivate the things and the person I want to be now, so that when we have a kid, like, I'm the man that I want to be, and I can continue to be that man while my kid's growing up. But I can't give you really much guidance on helping you out once that kid arrives, because I have no experience. But I would just say it's definitely something that I fear, because I have a lot going on too, and I think about that, and it gives me some anxiety, because I'm like, I already have a hard enough time as it is to get shit done, and having a kid is not going to, it's going to make it even harder. But I think it's back to Dad, what Dad said, using your time wisely. You're probably going to have to give up screen time, TV, video games, going out to the bar, you know, as much if you go out to the bar, going out and drinking with your bros, hanging out with the bros, like, I'm not saying you should never do that, but you're going to have to sacrifice some shit, probably. I mean, at the end of the day, you probably won't be able to go to the gym as much, or you'll have to get up earlier than everybody in your household to get to the gym and get home and get the kids ready to go to school and all that. I mean, it's just taking inventory on what your life is, where you're at, and how can I adapt and get the things I want to get done done. I think at the end of the day, what it'll teach you probably is, well, there's a kid. I got to spend time with this kid, so I got to schedule everything else around it to make it work. And you'll probably get better at using your time wisely because you can't afford not to. So that's all I'd say. That's all you really can do. I would just say don't let yourself go, though, too, because, you know, and that's easier said than done because it's chaotic when you have children from the outside looking in. But you're the example. So what you do, your kids are going to emulate. They just are. It's not what you say, it's what you do. So
I'll add one thing, because this is from the sound of the email you sent me, you've got a lot of stuff going on. I know that you're doing multiple things besides the job that you've got. And something that's very hard for me, but is very important to the success of everything that we're trying to do as a family, is I'm kind of like a squirrel, and I'm not a real strong finisher. I'm a real strong starter because I like variety, and if left to my own devices, I will have multiple projects started around the farm and in the house and on my desk. But then I don't always do a good job of finishing them. And that kind of makes for chaos because it's like, you know, before you start another thing, you need to clean this up. But one thing that I've started to realize, and you have to do this, you have to look at everything that you're doing through the guise of what is the return on my investment of time. So in other words, is it, as much as I would like to go to the shop and work on clearing off the bench or building cabinets or doing this or doing this project, how much does that help further our overarching goal versus spending the time in the office, going, returning emails and working on, you know, sponsorship or whatever needs to be done for our business within our business? And the truth is that time in the office actually has a much higher rate of return than me doing some carpentry job or me doing some other thing. And it's not sexy and it gets a little monotonous sometimes, but if you sit and look at everything you're doing, you're going to have to decide, okay, what is the biggest bang for the buck? In other words, what is going to give me the biggest return for the amount of time that I have to put into it? And whatever that thing is, that's what you need to work on. And you may have to let some things go that you may enjoy, but they're not profitable. Mm-hmm. And because at the end of the day, you only have a finite amount of time. And as much as you would like to do all of it, at some point, something's got to give. And you really have to boil it down to what's going to push you forward. What's the most important thing to getting you and your family towards the goal that you have? And focus on that.
People. I mean, if you're in endeavors, so if you're, I assume that's businesses. So, I mean, exactly what Dad said, hire out the positions that you know aren't your best use of time. I mean, that's easier said than done because you got to have the money to do that. And we empathize with anybody that's in that boat because we wish we could hire out a lot more stuff than what we can right now, but we'll get there. And that, what Dad just said, that's how, if you study the most successful people in the world and you listen to them and you talk to wealthy people, that's probably the number one thing that they will tell you. Your time is your most valuable asset, and you have got to be a son of a bitch when it comes to your time, because if you don't, nobody will, and you can lose it really quick, and it's the only finite thing that you have on this planet is your time, and you could die tomorrow, so better use it to the best you possibly can, the best of your ability. So,
100%. Tyler asks, what do you think about illegals being dropped off in random cities across the country? And the frame of this is he is from a town of about 20,000 people in Indiana, and it's happening in his little town, and it's not good. I mean, as we've said before, there's a heck of a lot of these people that are coming here that are mostly male. I think the majority are male, not families. And you've got no background. You have no... There isn't any background check being done on them. So I don't know where this all goes. And we're getting kind of to, I feel like, a critical point, because now with what's going on in Haiti, there's talk there. I think there was a talk just today about them being the government airlifting refugees from Haiti into the United States. So now we're going to fly illegals in, because these would not be, from my understanding, very little background checks being done on them, and no visas for most of them. I don't know. I don't know the details on it, but it's really strange times. And if you take, like, if you just sit and think about the basic fabric of how everything runs in this country, when you start influxing people to towns all over the country, it does not take a whole lot of mayhem to just make the whole system fall apart. And you really got to ask yourself, is this a random act of incompetence by our political leaders?
Fuck no, it isn't.
Or is what we're getting and what we very well may get completely intentional?
Yep. I believe it's intentional. You can't tell me it isn't. How can you be this stupid for this long and not do anything about it when everybody's screaming from the rooftops that it's a problem?
I don't know. And ironically, the...
Because you don't care. They don't care.
I mean, the budget bill that got passed at the last minute to state, you know, keep the government going. In that bill, I think there was $500 million that was sent to the country of Jordan for border security.
Nice. yeah, my thoughts on it. Yeah, it's scary. It's really worrisome. It's everything Dad said. Some of them can be terrorists. You're talking about crime. I think the scariest thing for me about it is I'm all about other people's cultures and other countries' cultures and, like, appreciating people's cultures. You know, that's what makes people amazing. That's what makes human beings amazing. But it's almost like they want to bring all these people in from all these different backgrounds with all these different cultures and different way of life to totally lose the identity of what our American culture is. Because we do have an American culture. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. All the woke people will tell you Americans are white supremacists and they were founded on white supremacy and they have no culture. White people have no culture. That's bullshit. America has culture. 4th of July is fucking pure-blooded American culture. Like, there's stuff in our country that's American. Like, yeah. That's an American thing. And, you know, I feel like a lot of it's been kind of lost. You know, they kind of want it to be lost. They want us to lose our identities as Americans. And they don't want us to have a culture. They don't. And when you talk about like how people in small town America are raised versus these people that are coming in, like completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different. I mean, Jason Aldean wasn't fucking around. Try that in a small town. Like that's how it is. Like people respect each other. People are neighborly more so than they are in cities. You know, like we care. Well, about our little town. We want to keep it intact. Like we care about our neighbor. Like we want to keep the values and the stuff that we stand for. We want to stand on that and keep that intact. And like, I just feel like that's their goal with it is to make it a disaster, lose our identity, let crime accelerate, let terrorist attacks happen. I mean, you name it. But this idea that it's incompetence is just total bullshit at this point. It's straight intentional. Yeah. And whatever reason, you can speculate, but that's one of my speculations, and that's the scariest thing about it is we're going to lose ourselves. And they're already doing it inside of the media with just how polarizing they are with everybody's divide. Against everybody, divide, 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 and then you throw this in the mix. Shit, we'll have no identity left. You'll have no identity left of what America was founded on, what it stands for, what is American culture, because you'll have so much shit in the pool that you won't even know what America stands for. So
I think a point that not enough time has been spent on is if you talk to any person that has immigrated here, and I'm thinking about your ICE guy.
Yep.
Or I know a lot of Hispanic people that have come here legally, and they're very upset about this because the amount of time and money and angst that it took for them to become a legal citizen of the United States. And the reason they came here are for all of the values that you just talked about. And they are proud to be Americans, and they are thankful that they are here. And now you're just kind of...
And the thing about that, because I don't want people to think like I'm against culture, different right. cultures and that backgrounds. But the thing about that is they recognize the American dream.
That's why they came.
That's here. Why they came here, and they're willing to embody what it means to be an American. Totally different mindset than somebody coming in here for free.
Well,
that doesn't really give a fuck about anything that this country stands for. They're just coming here because it's better than where they're from.
Right. They're escaping where they're from. And here's, we're kind of getting off on this, but what's really sad about this whole deal is there is no reason why in this country we have not overhauled the immigration system, streamlined it. We should want immigration. But we should want the best, the brightest, the most law-abiding people from around the world to come here.
Yep.
And we should have an immigration system.
That's easier than what it is right
yes,
now.
Yes, much easier, and incentivizes that for those people. However, when you have countries that are using the situation we have as a good way to empty the prisons yep. and to get rid of all the people that they don't want in their country. Now, that's not all of it, but that is definitely part of it. And then on top of it, I don't think near enough time has been spent speaking about these Chinese nationals that are coming here. Like, what? There is so much bad...
Child trafficking.
Yeah.
Drug traffic. I mean, fuck, there is terrible things happening.
Right. And
terrible.
We just constantly, every day, it's just glossed over and nothing to see here. And there's going to be something to see. I don't know when. I don't know what's going to happen, but I fear that fall election time of 2024 is not going to be a good time in America. There are too many things that are lining up, and the volume and the speed at which this has all been increasing is just, it's crazy to me, and I don't know where it ends, but I guarantee it doesn't end for the better. So
I don't know. From what I've viewed on TikTok, this is probably one of the reasons they want to get rid of it. People are not even like, people are saying in these videos now, why don't we get the fuck off this app and do something about it? When are we going to get off this app and do something about it? Yeah. When you start getting people like that, yeah, the government should be shitting their pants, because when you get a bunch of people, that's ultimately probably why they want to get rid of it, because people are sick of this shit, and I think the only way you change it is a revolution, or you hopefully get somebody in power for our country that can change shit for the better. But even then, I don't know. Shit's got to change, though. Shit's got to fucking change.
Yeah, it does, for sure.
Because I'm tired of it.
And I think, you know what?
And we see it. I don't know about illegal immigrants, but just I can tell you firsthand what I've seen in our little town. Migration of people from major cities that are falling apart. And you get a lot of scumbags.
Yep.
That ain't doing shit, that are sitting on the corner, that are running around, going to the liquor store, smoking cigs, smoking pot on the streets. You know, you see, like, never saw that as a kid. Never saw that growing up. Hell, didn't see that when I was in high school. Now you see it all the time. I mean, it's not like, it's not on a huge scale, but it's like, that was non-existent.
Yeah.
That was non-existent in our small town. Now it's prevalent.
Yeah.
And that's a migration of people coming from different places.
Well, and that's a reaction.
Cost of living.
That's a reaction to failed policies of larger cities. And don't kid yourself, the people that can least afford the higher costs, the lack of public services, those are the people that are hit the most by illegal immigration into those larger cities. And that's why you're seeing more and more people leave those cities, is a reaction to that. But at the end of the day, I think we all have got to take a lot more, a lot stronger role in our local government. Pay attention. Go to your stinking county supervisor meeting. Go to your local. Pay attention to your local elections, because it starts right where you live. And for too long, I think we've all just kind of been on cruise control, because let's face it, that stuff is pretty boring most of the time. But I think we've all got to learn that if it all starts with us. And so I guess my thoughts to close that is, get involved at the local level and wake up and pay attention to what's going on and do your part to be the solution and not just stand around and go, well, that sucks.
Yeah, because it's got to swear.
Yep, because it's got to swing. So,
yeah. Yep. I mean, where do you want to go from here? Hey, thanks for sticking with us. We appreciate every single one of you guys. Let's keep this ball rolling. Leave a review on Spotify or Apple. Follow us on YouTube. Pay the fee, share it out with who you know. It all helps, guys. We appreciate every single one of you. We love you. Now, let's get back to the podcast. All right. John sent us a long one, and he basically is asking, what is the deal with Tad's Tesla fetish?
Yeah. So, I think John, in his email, he was having a hard time reconcile my thoughts on Tesla versus the government playing in markets and the whole renewable energy thing and all that. So I'll try to, I could rant on it for a whole episode about this. And there are some Tesla app episodes back in the beginning that are whole episodes about my thoughts on Tesla, but I'll keep it simple. First of all, to me, Tesla represents what's possible, and it represents a future that America can be super competitive in, because outside of Tesla, the most advanced electric vehicles out there are not from Ford, GM, Stellantis. Volkswagen. They're from BYD and other Chinese manufacturers. If it wasn't for Tesla, if it wasn't for Tesla, the U.S. automotive industry would have no hope whatsoever. And the Biden administration, who I think it's funny that the unions were pro-Biden, and Biden just basically slit their sack, because if you look at the new tailpipe regulations and what's coming out, basically for them, like Ford, for example, if the way they've got that proposed right now stands, for Ford to sell a regular F-150, they've got to sell two electric F-150s. So it's basically incentivizing the EV business, which I don't agree with. The government should stay the hell out of the EV business, because Tesla built a profitable business and their product is superior. And anybody that wants to argue that with me is more than welcome, because these cars, go watch Sandy Munro tear down anybody else's electric vehicle and show you how they've done it and how it works compared to how a Tesla is. It's night and day. And they're losing money on every one of them they sell. So everybody else out there that's an American car company that's selling EV, they're losing money on every one of them vehicles. They're subsidizing it. So in Ford's case, they're subsidizing that with all the money they make off the Ford F-150. Basically, Ford loses money on every vehicle. Everything else they do, they lose money on it. But they make a shitload of money off selling Ford F-150s. And that's fine, but it's not sustainable.
Especially how shitty these fucking trucks are.
Oh, and they're all terrible.
They're all fucking terrible. I don't care. I don't know about you guys. These trucks suck.
Terrible.
2024, ever since COVID, trucks are ass. There's yep. Every you see videos. I have friends. Hell, you had problems with your Jeep. Yep. I've had friends that have had problems with Chevy, GMC, Ford. You name it. Across the board, trucks are not built like they used to be.
No.
That's a damn shame. But that's the honest truth.
Yeah. So
anyway,
getting back to my thoughts. So Tesla has built a great product. And yes, it's not for everybody. And, you know, we saw that if you live in a really cold climate, an electric car is a challenge. And people get on about the electrical grid and say, oh, well, we can't support all these EVs because it's too much of a drain on the electrical grid. Well, no, the reason our electrical grid is in trouble is data centers, for one thing. I mean, there's all kinds of things, but a data center that are going up all over the country, because data is such a huge thing. The amount of electrical power that each one of those data centers pulls compared to what charging an EV is, I mean, it's like thousands and thousands of cars, every one of those data centers. And it's poor policy by our government that there has been no good infrastructure as far as power transmission investment in this country in a long time. We are making more power, we're building power plants, but we're not investing in infrastructure. That is not because of the EV business, it's because of bad policy. At the end of the day, and this scares me, but what I really believe is that we're heading to this time where there's going to be a fork in the road. And on the one hand, companies like Tesla are using technology and they're inventing the technology to give us greater time, better products than we've ever had. But on the other end of that, our political system, our government regulation, our misinformation, our division in this country may tear the fabric of our country apart to the point that none of us are going to be able to enjoy what all of this technology could make available to us. And I think I said that clear back when we started talking about Tesla. Like, the possibilities for solar generation, for the Powerwall, as far as basically making your home energy independent to where you pretty much can run your life off the grid. In other words, be your own power generation system and have a vehicle that you charge at home and not have to stop at the gas station, you know, for your commute and all that. That is all possible. Full self-driving is possible. I really like the idea that at some point, I don't think I'm ever going to get a trained gorilla to load pigs or to chore my buildings. But I think that if I live long enough, I might be able to get a Tesla bot to chore for me. But if we can't hold this country together, none of that matters.
My only thing about this question is this. Everybody, anytime you talk about Tesla, all anybody wants to talk about is a fucking car. They are not just a fucking car company. I don't know how many times you have to say that to people for them to get that through their brain.
Yeah.
The data of the self-driving, the charge, they have the whole charging network, the power walls and the freaking Tesla tiles they're putting on people's roofs, the robots they're building. They're not just a car company. They're not just a car company. Well, that is what you have to wrap your head around. And Dad is a pure capitalist. I mean, you're a capitalist. You like to make money. Yeah. Tesla is a valuable stock.
Yep.
The reason you went down this whole rabbit hole is because you were like, holy shit, Tesla is a good, like, you invested in Tesla. You made money off Tesla because you believed in what they were doing. And it still is a good stock because they're like an evolutionary company. They're an Apple. They're like Apple.
Yeah.
The shit that they're trying to do, they're like Apple. And that's what people don't get. And we've said this from the very beginning. I'm not a greenie. I don't think EV is, I'm not standing on that high horse of supporting EVs because I think it's going to make everything more green. I could give a shit less about that.
Yeah.
It's valuable. The technology can move human evolution, and they are high level at what they do. And if you're a capitalist and you want to invest in that, I look at that as a valuable company. And yeah, my girlfriend or my fiance has a Tesla. I can speak firsthand. Car's pretty fucking sick. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of noise. And yeah, you don't get a roll call on anybody. But shit, she doesn't pay shit for gas. The electrical bill on it's pretty cheap. We drive that thing everywhere. It self-drives. You got a freaking computer in your car. You can play music, watch anything you want. It's got some really good features in it. It's a really nice car to drive. It's a really nice car to ride in. The driving and riding experience in that car is pretty damn awesome, in my opinion. And most car guys might not like that because they like the vroom vroom and all the shit. But the daily person that's just getting on about their life, that, you know, it's just a car to them, they're going to like a Tesla because there's a lot of convenient, great features to them. But that's just the cars.
Yeah.
That's just the cars. So I don't give a shit about the green thing. I don't give a shit about that at all.
Yeah, I'll just say one last bit about it. I've been following Tesla for a long time. If you want to go back to earlier episodes, I do a really good job of laying out the whole thesis of why I invested in Tesla to start with. But one thing that I have watched since the beginning of this is people, this is another example of the media walking hand in hand with the government. If Elon Musk would have stayed on the path that he was on, and let's say that he bought the New York Times or he bought some liberal rag, say he bought out MSNBC, he would be the dark. It's much the same story as Trump. If you go back and you watch when Trump was the darling of the libs, because he was a liberal. There's a great clip of him on Oprah Winfrey and her just gushing all over him and telling him that he should run for president. At the time, he said no. Well, Elon Musk was the same way. So, you know, grew up Silicon Valley. I would say he still has pretty liberal views, but his overriding, the way he kind of governs his life is what he calls, first world principles. And just, you know, logic. Like, he follows things to the end. He looks at something and he plays it out to how it's going to end. And that's how he forms his opinions. And so you've seen him shift. And the reason he bought Twitter, the reason he started X, was because he saw how the media was totally being held hostage by government. And
there's no free speech.
You can argue, you know, whatever you want. But I just think it's incredibly... It's just so interesting to watch how people have turned. The government has turned. The media has turned against that man from the time that he was a darling. And all it comes down to is he's really all about common sense, and they do the really hard stuff. Like, they are like Apple, but they built the machine that built the machine. They didn't outsource making that phone to China and put it in a pretty box that was designed in California. They built the machine to build the machine and built the factory, and he bet his life on it, and it's profitable. Every car they sell, they make money on. Your legacy automakers that you have bet all these union jobs on and you have tied yourself to the federal government, you are screwed. You are screwed, and it is becoming more apparent every day. And now then the government, because you don't fit the narrative, the big automakers, they're going to get thrown to the wolves. And if you didn't believe that politicians don't have your best interests in mind, when you go down the road far enough and some company like BYD buys a controlling interest in Ford Motor Company or General Motors because nobody else wants the stock and it's at an all-time low, and they come in and buy it so that they can sell their Chinese-made cars in America under a blue oval, that's when a lot of people wake up and go, oh, shit, this isn't what we thought it was. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but the auto business as it is today will no longer exist at some point. And the only company, the only American-made company that's out there that makes a product that is compelling enough and is quality enough and is efficient enough that can make money and turn a profit and pay its payroll is Tesla, not any of the rest of them. So that is why I like Tesla.
Yeah. And I would just say I'm not anti-oil and gas either.
No.
We're not anti-oil and gas. Like, we use diesel fuel on the farm. We use gas on the farm. I got a gas truck. Dad's got a gas truck. But people just get their emotions so tied up in this subject, and it's just, they get their feelings hurt.
Show me something better. Like, that's the thing. Get me something better. Because right now, I don't want to buy a new truck. I've got a Jeep that's 3 years old, and transmission went out of it when it had 4,000 miles on it, and the engine that's in it is prone to the camshaft just wearing out because it has shit lubrication in it, and I run full synthetic oil with one of the highest ad packs of any oil you can get just because people are like, you better do that because if you don't, you're going to have to tear the thing down and replace the cam, and it's brand new. I have a 2010 Toyota Sequoia with a 350 in it, and it has almost 200,000 miles on it, and that thing is by far one of the best. It's the best car I've ever owned, and I don't want to get rid of it. Like, I see the new Toyota Sequoia, and it has a turbocharged four-cylinder or six-cylinder in it. And I'm like, why in the hell are you doing this? Because you had a V8 that was absolutely bulletproof. I have never done anything to that car. And if you talk to anybody that has one of these Sequoias, they'll tell you the same thing. Best goddamn car they've ever had. Go buy a new one? Hell no. If that thing finally goes to crap, I'm going to go find the last year that they made that Sequoia that way, and I'll buy that. But I won't buy a new car because the quality is terrible. The workmanship is terrible. And not only that, I'm not altogether confident that if I buy that car, because I've had this one, obviously, for 14 years, is there going to be a dealership to take the damn thing to? I don't know. We're going to find out. But yeah, I get, like you're probably seeing, I get a little fired up about it. But if my whole thing on Tesla is they are literally kicking the rest of the United States auto business right in the ass and just being like, get out of our way. Because if they're allowed to operate, if the government does not hand tie them to where they are at a disadvantage, they will be the only viable auto company in 10 years made in America, hands down. I should be drinking because my blood pressure is getting high, but anyway.
Well, that's why look at Smithfield. People don't like Smithfield today because why? They got bought by the Chinese.
Yeah.
Could same thing could happen in the automotive space.
Let all the snarky comments come. I'm ready for all of them. So, we should talk about this, I guess. What are your thoughts on homeschooling?
I've thought about homeschooling. Kat and I have thought about homeschooling, my fiance. I think every young person right now is thinking about it. I've talked to friends. I've talked to people my age. The more and more this world goes crazy, the more and more you want to take them out of the public school system, the more stories you see about the public school system, the more you're like, I don't want to put my kids in that position. I don't want them indoctrinating my kids with the shit that they want to indoctrinate them with. And, you know, I think school fails a lot of kids. Truthfully, the school system that we have today, and I mean, I'm blessed. I lived in a good small town community that, you know, there wasn't as many kids and there wasn't, you know, it was easier to get attention from teachers and stuff. There wasn't as many troubled kids and troubled areas and troubled environments, you know. But, I mean, you look at inner city schools, damn, it's hard for those kids to get a really good education because they got a lot of shit going on. It's chaotic. And I don't know. But, you know, there's obviously some current concerns about homeschooling. You know, you don't want them to be awkward as hell. You want them to have people skills. You want them to be able to interact and pick up on social cues. You know, those are concerns. You want to be involved in the community and involved in sports and activities and whatever they're passionate about, which they can still do. But the other thing is it's work. It's work for the parents. You got to get the curriculum. You got to teach them the curriculum. You have to find an online school. You know, that's all. It's not the easy thing to do. It's not the easiest thing to do. And it's also not mainstream. So you also have all the social pressure of going against the grain and homeschooling your kids. But, you know, that's another thing that the older I get, the more crazy shit gets, the more I start thinking more and more about it. Because, yeah, shit's fucked, Rick. It's fucked.
I think that you hit the nail on the head there when you said that it's not the easy thing to do. I think that we are in a time today that you as a person, you as a family, you as a community, the being able to do the easy thing and take the easy path is done. Those days are over. There are not many easy days ahead for us, for this country. I think for us to move forward as a country, there's going to be a lot of hard. And I can just tell you that if I was raising my two sons today, I would homeschool them because I don't trust the system. We spend, I'm not sure if we're first, but if we're not first, we're damn close to first, and I think we are. I think we spend more money per kid in America on education than any place else in the world, and our return for that money is among the worst in the world. So we keep spending more money, and our test scores keep going down, and some of the more liberal places around this country have just basically taken out testing. They just don't test them because they don't want to know the answer. And we just had dinner with some friends of ours, and one of our couples, they work in the public school system, and they don't grade. Like, they don't give out grades. I think it's middle school that they are an aide, and they don't grade. They just grade kids on their
participation.
If they really try hard, or they're not trying very hard, or they're not trying at all. I think it's basically just you're good, you're okay, or you need to do better. Because grades are too triggering, too traumatic to children, and no child likes to fail. I didn't like to fail, but it didn't keep me from doing it quite a bit.
And I feel bad for those kinds of teachers, because there are good teachers out there that they are being told what they have to teach, how they have to teach, how they can discipline, what they can do to discipline kids, what they can't do to discipline kids. And geez, a kid's beating the shit out of you, you can't even do anything. I mean, it's like, it's a shit show. It's a shit show across the board. What they teach is a shit show. Most of the teachers, I'm going to be honest, they should make becoming a teacher a lot harder than it is, because I'll be honest with you, even in a small town, had a lot of tension from teachers. I had some fucking awesome teachers that were engaging, that kept people, they were with the times, kept students engaged. You really picked up on the information they were teaching you because they gave a shit. And then you had teachers that handed you a sheet and said, all right, everybody collaborate with each other because we need to all learn from each other. And like, there was no teaching. You taught yourself practically. It was a shit show. And there were some bad teachers. We need to get rid of the bad teachers. You need to have some qualifications. They need to make more qualifications.
Problem is, you can't get it. There's no way you're going to do that. The standards for teachers are not going to get higher because right now
they got to pay them more.
They can't get enough teachers, and they're not.
They got to pay them more, and you got to have more quality. It's got to take longer to become a teacher, because I think some people
I don't think that's the case.
You don't think people go to college and don't know what the fuck they're going to do, and they're like, well, summer's off sound good.
No, I think that's 100% true, but you're not going to be able to raise the standards on the quality of teacher you hire until there is an excess supply of teachers. Right now, they can't get enough people to teach. There's no way they're going to raise the standard.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's necessarily the solution is homeschooling. I heard a really good theory or idea about people coming up with an app or a business where you get a pool of parents together and you all pool your money together to pay a teacher that is very good. And you all go to, like, old school, go to a schoolhouse or, you know, wherever you go, and all those parents' kids go to that one teacher and you all learn together. So you get the
socialization.
Yes, thank you. And you're learning from a qualified teacher that you vetted yourself as a parent. All your parents that are in that group vetted that teacher to know, hey, what's their beliefs? What are they going to say to my kids? Are they smart? Are they not? Do they know shit? Do they not know shit? And, you know, you have a little more control. And it's kind of the best of both worlds there.
If you take it to the logical conclusions, and this is what I'm surprised. This is why college, to me, I just do not understand the model of college at all. Because as you and I both know, and as most people know, you can go out and you can find people, world-renowned experts in whatever their field of study is, and you can consume their information, what they're teaching, you can consume that for damn near free. So why has nobody come up with the model that you, yes, you're homeschooling your kids, or you're pooling and you get a group like you talked about, but you might have an in-person, somebody that facilitates it and makes sure that they're checking the homework and doing that, but you're using the best and the brightest people within the fields that are, whether that be algebra, whether that be U.S. history, or whether that be whatever. Why are we not doing that? And we're consuming the information from the best and brightest and then spreading that among, you know, many, many people instead of paying money to go to a university to have a TA, a teacher's assistant, teach the course and never even see the prof and get charged an arm and a leg. I just don't know. The whole education system to me is just...
Well, it's outdated.
It's in a mess.
It's outdated. A mess. It's not keeping up with the times. And, like, I heard this. In life and in business, there's not a right answer and a wrong answer. There is... Some answers are better than other answers.
Right.
It's what is the best answer to the problem.
Yeah.
In school, most of the time, it's this is the right answer, this is the wrong answer. And... It's just coming up with the right answer. It's not coming up with the right answer.
Yeah.
There's many right answers to a problem. And I don't know. I always talk about how what I hated about school was you were measured on your academics and how good you are at extracurriculars. But when you get out into the real world and you become an adult, what fucking matters to people? What do people measure your success on and how smart and bright you are? How much fucking money you make, yet they don't teach you a fucking thing about how to make money. Not a dollar. Not a thing, not a thought, nothing. They don't teach you shit. And yet that's what people measure your success on and how smart of a human being you are on. Because of what you do, how much value you bring to the world, which results in money. Isn't that kind of weird?
It is very strange.
Very strange.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know what the answer is. I would just tell you that, to me, homeschooling, the stock on that has skyrocketed from when I was a kid, because when I was a kid, almost nobody homeschooled, and you knew who the homeschooled kids were. But today, there's so many options as far as, you know, having that curriculum, but yet have them involved in extracurricular to where they are adjusted, they have friends, they socialize and all that. And being able to control the quality of the curriculum and to maximize the value of the curriculum. That's the other thing. Homeschooling, you can expose your children to so many things that otherwise they're not going to be exposed to in public school. And the quality of the curriculum that you can get, I think that's kind of in that where I was talking about. You can get, you know, people that are basically renowned experts in the fields that you want, that, you know, your children are interested in. And those options weren't available years ago, but today they are. And I don't know.
There's definitely some room for disruption in the education space.
100%.
And I think definitely in my lifetime, there is going to be an alternative. And I don't think it's just homeschooling. I think there's going to be a middle ground. There's going to be some company, some organization that comes out with some sort of something different. Because I think there needs to be something different. Because people are tired of the government indoctrinating your kids. Your kids are gone for 8 hours a day. You might see them for 2 hours a night on the weekdays because you're working. They spend more time with their teachers and their peers at school than they do with you. So how they turn out most of the time is how they want them to turn out most of the time, not how you wanted them to turn out, because that's what they get fucking shoved in their brain 8 hours a day besides summer. So
Jeez.
Well, I'm just saying. It's the truth.
So it's I can the blame truth. The school system?
Well, luckily, I didn't apply myself enough because I hated school. So
I
didn't listen a lot.
Oh, yeah, that does
I looked
sound.
At the clock and I was like, all right, when's football practice or when are we getting out of here? Because I hate my life right now.
That does sound vaguely familiar to my childhood. So maybe we do have more in common.
Business, farming, athletics, numbers, that always interests me. Annotating about
Charlotte's Web.
Charlotte's Web or Atlas Shrugged. I don't know, not Atlas Shrugged.
They wouldn't have taught that.
No, they didn't teach that.
So you don't even
I don't
remember.
Know. Some other shit. Great Gatsby. Something all like right. that. That didn't interest me. Well, we're running pretty long here.
You want to close her down? You want one more?
I don't know if we should.
I'll give you one more.
Okay.
Do you think American farmers should be protesting like European farmers?
Where's it happening? Let me know. Get her going and let me know.
I don't think it'll happen.
It won't happen. So
you know, the problem
give
is,
me the address. Give me the time when our tractor's supposed to be there and let me know.
I don't think it'll happen here because American farmers are way too independent. And if you loaded up and took your tractor to Washington, D.C., by the time you got back, your neighbor would have rented all your farm ground from your landlords.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, and the other thing is their agriculture is so regulated. I mean, we have a lot of regulation, but that the European Union...
It's definitely getting worse.
Yeah, and it definitely is getting worse.
I mean, the DNR's kind of getting crazy.
Yeah.
Some of the shit they're trying
to do. So, I mean, there's... I guess the short answer is I don't think American farmers are gonna do that.
It's not quite at that point yet.
No, and I just don't feel like that... Like I said, I think we're just so independent-minded that it would take something very, very severe to get... All of the people involved in ag to think, to unite that way.
I think what we should do, if you're going to have a revolution or a protest, it should just be all Americans.
Yes.
We got more problems, all of us collectively, not farmers, whatever you're doing. We got more problems, all of us together, than just farmers.
Yes.
Shit, if that means we got to take our shit tanks up to D.C. and let her eat, I guess we'll do that. But that could be our contribution. But
I think that's a great point. I mean, I think...
We got worse problems, all of us collectively.
At the end of the day, we can't lose sight of the fact that there is way more wrong with this country that we can all agree on than the few things that we... don't agree on. And I think the government may, at the end of the day, this year, this election, they may very well have finally overplayed their hand in their effort to divide us by just coming up with more BS that, you know, divides you from your neighbor. I think they have played it so far that one of these days, and I think we might be there, I think people are starting to realize that we actually have enough things that we agree that are totally screwed up
that it's
that
uniting
we're willing
us.
To overlook the few things that we don't agree on and say, you know what? It's time that we held these son of a guns accountable.
Yep.
And make a change.
Definitely,
so,
definitely unites us for sure.
So we got a few questions that we didn't get to. And I think there's a couple of them that we could have...
We can get them in the next one.
Yeah. So we might actually do another Q&A instead of jumping to a Hot Topics. We'll just have to see how it goes. But for today...
I think we've run long enough.
I might need a nap.
I think we got all our words out. So we appreciate all you guys. Thank you so much for sharing the show and all your support. And... it's crazy ride, and we love being on it with you guys. Couldn't do any of this without you. We appreciate you. Leave a review on Spotify or Apple. Share the show if you got any value. Go to Farmer Grade and get any of the meat that I talked about today. We're going to have it all, so there could be something there for you. We love you guys. Keep on keeping on, and we'll see you back here next week for another episode.